Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Welcome to the show that's changing the way you see yourself. It's changing the way you see God. It's changing how you live out your life in these bodies. You see, intentional is here to help you to live from the place of true worship, of true spirituality, allowing you to awaken to the new creation reality and understanding that you too can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Welcome to church here on America Out Loud. I'm Dr. Faye, your host for Intentional, here every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you've been listening for the past several weeks, we've opened up an encyclopedia, if you will, on our Father's DNA. It's DNApedia, God's DNA, unveiling and revealing Christ within us. That the very idea that God would put himself on the inside of us, those in human form, still amazes me. It causes me to do an aha, really? God dwells in me? He loves me that much that he would live inside of my house. No longer lives in a temple made with hands, but we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can be certain of God's presence. Today, we pick up on our next chapter on page 65 is learn to live with the Christ in mind. Learning to live with Christ in mind. Awakening every morning with the idea, the thought that God lives inside of us. Those of us who have opened the door and allowed Christ to come in. He came in and he did not exit. He never leaves. He never forsakes us. He is not a visitor. He inhabits that place. He dwells in it. You and I are God's address. We are those places for him to dwell in. We are the many mansions that God dwells in. We are those city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Because the light is so bright, it exposes and expels the darkness. Can you imagine that God was so pleased with all that he created in the book of Genesis? That he saw what he had done and he said, it is good. Everything that he spoke into existence, God called it good. He didn't look for validation from man or for anyone to come to say, God, you did a good thing. He said, it is good. The Father knew that whatever he spoke, it had his signature, his brand, and it was called good. God wanted to create a look-alike, a be-alike, and he called it humanity. And we see in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, when he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, after our kind, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So he created man in his image, after his likeness, after his kind. So all that God is and all that God will ever be, he created man to be that? And I know that baffles the human mind. It causes people, especially religious minds, to like shut down, have a brain freeze, to think that God would actually create himself again. He has that right. He's God. He can do what he wants. The psalmist says, "Ye are gods to whom the word of the Lord has come." And Jesus quoted that scripture. Did he not say, "Ye are gods to whom the word of the Lord has come"? So God created himself in his own image. He created himself. That's what image is. He mirrored himself. He made another God. I know. Come on, get off your brain freeze. He made himself. And then he blessed himself. See, calling it good again. He blessed himself and he said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living thing that moves on the ground. I've given you authority. I have made you me." I made a mini me. God made a mini God. He made a mini me, not M-A-N-Y, but a M-I-N-I. Then God said, "I give you every seed bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and over all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. It was very good. There is nothing that God has not made that's very good. You are very good. You have goodness dwelling in you. The moment you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the good thing came in. You have a good thing in you. You have someone good inside of you. And God said, after he created everything he made, after he had formed man, he looked and saw that man was not complemented. There was no one who man, the mini God, could relate to. So he caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he reached inside and he took out the core, the rib. Did you hear what I said? He took out that seeded part of man, the seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, part of man. Because the original does not really say rib. He took out that seeded part of man, and that part of man began to be called the man with the womb, because that's the place where the seed can go, right? So that's the seeded part of man. Man with the womb, the womb man, and brought her to the man. And she became the mother of all the living. This power, I took time to share that with you because we need to see the power source that who is resident within us as our father's DNA. Look at what we've just described, what we just shared with you from Genesis 1 and 2, and how God orchestrated this in such a way that he would be woven into the fabric of our being, that all that we are would be representative of our Father. And we know in Genesis 3 what happened. There was the great high treason of Adam, of mankind, of humanity. But that was the first Adam. And the Bible says that God sent the last Adam, who is Jesus Christ. And he came to save that which was lost. He came to reconnect us, to reconcile us back to God. That means he bought us back. He brought us back. He came to redeem us, and that's where he paid the price. He bought us back. to God, to that original place of being the many gods in the earth, the M-I-N-I. Yes, it's true. It's the truth. God wanted a lookalike. He wanted someone just like him. He could see himself inside of. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. Being one with God means that the world sees God in us. Not because we pick it with signs or we fight against this law or that law, but because we are representation of Christ in the earth. It's much bigger than carrying a sign. It's much bigger than a protest. Not that there's anything wrong with protesting. It's much bigger than that. It means that Christ is so present within us that is the protest. That is the thing that will close abortion clinics. That is the thing that will close down the bars. That is the thing that will stop meth addiction. That is the thing that will bring the adulterous person back home. That is the thing that will stop human trafficking. That is the thing that will cause people to want to serve him when they see Christ in the earth again. You see, we have to do those other things when we don't have the presence of God. Yeah, I said it. We have to march on Capitol Hill if we're not marching on Zion's Hill. Well, I said it. Yes, yes, and yes. We have to go outside of ourselves when we don't find the completeness of ourselves within ourselves. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Bible says that whatever Adam called a thing, that's what it was. He had the power. He had the authority granted by God. We just read that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. He had been given the power and the authority to call things what they were. He called the giraffe a giraffe, or whatever animals were present then by history. Whatever Adam called a thing, that's what it was, and that's what it is today. Someone was in the earth to think the thoughts of God. His word, his breath, to breathe upon creation the same way that God did. Someone that could breathe life into everything. And that was humanity. The first man. And Jesus became the last Adam so that the new man, the new creation in Christ, could have the same authority, the same power, the same knowledge of God as the first man did before Genesis 3, when he disobeyed God. As long as we are walking in obedience, the word obedience is simple. It's a simple word. I know it sounds harsh, but it's a simple word. It simply means walking in alignment. Hello. Walking in harmony. Walking in unity with the Father. So that whatever the Father desires, the heart of God becomes our heart. That shouldn't be so difficult since he lives inside of us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This new Christ reality, this new creation reality, this Christ consciousness causes us to begin to hunger for the thoughts of God. This relationship with God begins to bloom and blossom so that we're not coming from externals anymore. We're coming from inside of the house. Anything that matters in this world begins inside. All of the great thought leaders teach about coming inside, doing the work inside. Those principles are spiritually based, even if scriptures are not being used. Those principles are still spiritually based. And when you look at them, you'll see this is not man's idea. These are God ideas. These are God's thoughts. This is God speaking, that he wants us to get his word from within. He wants us to be led by him. He wants us to know his presence, his spirit, his anointing, so that we'll always know the authority and the power we have that's resident within us, and we don't need to seek it outside of ourselves. Learning to live with the Christ in mind is understanding that whatever we call a thing, that's what it is. What are you calling things in your life? What are you saying about yourself? Look around you. It's easy to say what we're saying. Yeah. You're manifesting it. What are you thinking about yourself? Look around you. It's manifesting all of the time. If you think that you are a patient because the doctor gave you a diagnosis, then you will become a patient. You'll manifest that. You'll start feeling worse. You'll start, you know, searching it out on Google, calling people, telling them about it, seeing what their thoughts are about it, because now you have become that thing that you thought. When you decide to become the healed, the victor, then you start reading the word of God concerning healing. You start speaking words of life over your life. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. 1 Peter 2:24, who in his own self bear my sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. In Isaiah, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Maybe you don't quote all of them out, but you can say, no, I am healed. I know that's my right. That's my God-given right to be healed, to be whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. Salvation brought the complete package, that I am not without health. I am filled with health in every part of my being. And as you declare and decree that upon your life, you are calling that thing by name. You're calling yourself healed. You're calling yourself well. You're not calling yourself, I have this disease or I have that disease. You're calling yourself healed. That is the mind of Christ. And that's the life of Christendom. True Christianity is living the life, being exemplary of the Christ that's living within. I'm so glad you're joining me today for Intentional. I've got more to say on this message, because I know that each of you are here today because you want to grow in grace, increase your faith by increasing your awareness of who's living inside of you through salvation in Jesus Christ. I'll be back in a moment with more on today's message.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Can you imagine Adam taking a fruit from the tree and then another fruit immediately grew back? There was no reason for it to pause. There was no reason for it to be there, for it not to be there. There was always availability of everything that God had created. There was never a moment where there was lack. Adam was not aware of sickness nor disease before sin, nor of poverty. He had no awareness. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 3, when God was calling him, and Adam and Eve, his wife, had hid themselves from the call of God, like people do, and Adam admitted to God, he said, I hid myself. And I was afraid because we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you that you were without anything? Who told you that there was any such thing as evil? Who told you? You've been receiving another word. You've been listening to a voice outside of me. And because you listen to a voice outside of me, it's going to cost you. And it still is costing people. When we listen to voices outside of God's voice, it costs us. But there, we don't have to stay there, because he made a way for us to turn around. The word is called repent, for us to turn around and hear the voice of God so that we can continue to move along the lines that he wants us to move in. Adam had authority and dominion over everything, and the only authority that was over man was God. It wasn't the devil, it was God, until Genesis 3, when Adam and the woman received the negative words. They received Satan, the serpent's words, and they began to fall away. They fell. Mm-hmm. Everything in the garden was designed to reflect God's mind at work. Take a look at it. Go back and read it. We see God's mind at work, that whatever God said something, he brought it to pass. It was good. Adam was God's mind at work. The Bible says that we are the light of the world, a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. He made us the light of the world. We are his reflection. God saw the light and he called it good. He looks at us and he sees the light in us and he called us good. Yes. Pause and think about that. When he sees me, he says good. When he sees you as a child of God, he says good. When our Father looks and at you, he sees nothing but good things coming through you. His mind doesn't see evil. His mind doesn't see the way you feel, or, you know, or what people say about you. He does not agree with the negativity. Come with me, ladies and gentlemen. Father God is not agreeing with the negativity in your life. He's not agreeing with what the bad things that happened to you. He's not agreeing with the mistakes that you made. He's not looking upon those things. He doesn't see that. What he sees is the good in you. And that's what he wants us to see, is the good in us. Sometimes in the mix of things, we forget that the mind of God is not like man's mind. You know, people point out your faults and they'll say what you should have done, would have done, could have done. But that's not what God does. We traveled quite a distance in sin before we accessed the plan of God for our lives. And sin is missing the mark, not following God, doing it your way. That's what sin really is. The plan of salvation brought us back to the original designer and the original design. He wants us to know that there is a plan for our lives. In Ephesians 1, he says that there was a plan. We were predetermined. There was a predetermined course. There is a divine plan for our lives, and we don't have to stay the way that we've been. He has a plan for us to give us a hope and a future, and we can walk in that today. I want us to take a look at that verse in Ephesians, because I think it bears reading to you today. Let's look at it. In Ephesians 11, so much good in here. Well, let me read it from verse 3, okay? Praise be the God, Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I could stop there and preach till next month. Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And where is Christ? In us. So where is every spiritual blessing? Within us. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. Far, far away. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He did it all. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Look at what he did. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Wow. Predestined to be good. Predestined to be great. Predestined to be blessed. Predestined to be filled with joy. So since it's all pre, it's time for us to acknowledge the good thing that is within us, as he said in Philemon, to acknowledge the finished works of Christ that is within us, that we have access to all things that pertain to life and godliness in these bodies. Sometimes we forget. The mind of God is filled with creativity. So what are we filling our minds with? It's filled with power and authority. So what are we exercising our authority toward? Are we speaking emphatically and with authority toward negativity? Or are we growing up to speak wonderful things about ourselves? Listen, if you're waiting for other people to say good things about you, you might be waiting a minute. Why not say it about yourself? Agree with God. Agree with the Christ mind. Agree with the finished works of Jesus, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, I am. That you are blessed in the city, blessed in the field. That you are wonderful, that you are a beautiful creation. Yes, I am. Agree with God that you are good. Yes, you are. I hear parents sometimes have said to about their children that, oh, he is so bad. She is so bad. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. That will be a prophecy over your child. You don't call children bad. They're good. You're good. Don't look at them through those lenses. Look at them as good. Redirect them according to their goodness. Begin to pour into them more love and shift them from the inside out. You can't do it from the outside in. The mind of God cannot be taught. It is to be birthed through the fires and trials and circumstances, thrusting us into the Bible until those words on the page become a living, breathing reality. You know what I say all of the time? In your everyday waking, walking, talking lives, the life that you're living. Philippians 2 and 5 says, let this mind, let always has an understood subject you. In this case, you let this mind, means you have to be engaged in the process. You're not a puppet. We're not puppets. You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did he have? He had the mind of God. He had the mind showing us who the Father is. He had the mind that was focused on the Father. This word let, it signifies an acting of our will to do something. That's on page 67 of my new book, Our Father's DNA Switched at Birth, that you can get on Amazon. The writer of this epistle, namely Apostle Paul, exhorts the church to be engaged in the process of mind renewal, renewing our minds, getting our minds in sync with God, in oneness, in alignment with the Father's mind. The best place I know of is to begin to that journey is the Bible. The place where you end that journey is the Bible. That daily journey should be the Bible. The mind of God. He was gracious enough to leave and cause to be left in this earth this written copy for us to get a glimpse of the mind of God, to understand the character of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the works of Jesus Christ, the history of the judges, the prophets, the kings, and the living epistles in the New Testament. It requires some due diligence and daily Bible study for our minds to be transformed, or else we'll start following the way of the world, listening to the 6 o'clock news, and let it dictate your future, will you? No. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2 and 15 and 16. The greatest gift we can give ourselves is a renewed mind to practice meditating upon the word of God, dedicating time, opening the scriptures, learning how to let it read you, to read it aloud to yourself, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the more you read it aloud, the more you are hearing it, and you start increasing and building your faith. We'll learn to live from the place of a Christ mind and not a mind that's filled with the clutter of the world. When we have an epidemic of Alzheimer's, dementia, and bipolarism, schizophrenia, and all kinds of names that are named, the name of Jesus is greater than those names. When we fill our minds with the word of God, we can change those things to being the mind of Christ, be found clothed and in our right mind, like the man who was filled with demons that Jesus cast out, and nobody could do anything with him. He was breaking chains, throwing himself into the fire. The dude was a mess. But when Jesus spoke to him and commanded those demons to leave, they had to go, and he was found sane. He was found focused. He was found cleansed. We want to be found focused and cleansed because we receive the word, because Jesus became the word made flesh. So when the word spoke the word, it illuminated their minds. It transformed their lives. So when the word speaks to you, it will change your direction. It will change how you live your life. I know the doctor may have spoken a diagnosis over you, but you need to speak the prognosis over yourself. Begin to declare what God has declared about you. That is the mind of Christ. Speak what Jesus would speak. What would Jesus speak? Go back through the Gospels and see what he spoke to people. He told them to get up, take your bed up, and walk. He began to touch people and heal. People touched him and was healed. There were blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped. Lepers were healed. The insane became sane. Dead people were raised again. Yes, yes, and yes. That's what Jesus thinks about sickness and disease and poverty and mental disorders, mental health disorders. That's what Jesus thinks about it. He casts it out. He heals it. His mind turns lives around. We're walking today through this because we want to grow up so that we're thinking from a different place, learning to live from the mind of Christ within us, giving ourselves this greatest gift of thinking like Jesus thinks. It's living from a place of Christ's mind that would draw the wells of wisdom, because Christ is our wisdom. We don't know wisdom. We don't know knowledge. We're not so much smart. We're not so smart. We think we are, but it's God who has given us the ability to think. All good things come from God. Stop giving yourself so much credit, you know, because with just one breath, you'll be no more, not even a breath, because he's still God, the creator of all things. The heaven is his. Earth is his footstool. What can we give God but ourselves? We'll find ourselves living from the place of kingdom when we learn to hear from our God place, from the place that he dwells, and that is within us. And we'll learn to give and to grow from that place. Set Bible reading as a daily task, and not as something that you grieve, but something that you rejoice over, because you know the more you read, the more you'll begin to see through his eyes and feel his presence and experience his goodness and his glory in your life. Eat and drink the word. To live spiritually in this physical world, we must eat the word and drink the water of the spiritual well that will never run dry. learning to live from this place of glorious victory through the mind of Christ, allowing ourselves to confess those scriptures daily. What are you confessing over your life or affirming to yourself? Confession, affirmation, I just put it all together. Because what you confess or what you affirm is what you will begin to experience. And when you're confessing and affirming what the Father has already spoken, you're coming into agreement with God and you'll begin to experience the presence and power of God in your everyday waking, walking, talking life. And you're no longer given over to what's happening in Washington, D.C., letting that consume you. Wow. That negativity will destroy you. It just will. Because it changes from moment by moment. I can't even say day by day. It's consistently, one thing about negativity, it is consistently being negative. And so we shift that and begin to think the thoughts of God and begin to see what he sees and experience his goodness and experience health, experience increase, experience joy and peace. You know what the world is really missing today? Is missing peace. And I know there may not be military action in every place, but the world internally is missing peace. And I want to talk about that peace that comes with the Christ mind when we come back after this prayer pause, because there's so much that we need to detach from in order to experience the Christ mind. Yeah, we've got to do something. And I'll tell you what that is in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
There has to be a moment where we are conscious of this work, that there is a work that's taking place within us individually, and that we're not looking on the outside of ourselves for someone else to fix it or to make it right for us. That we have graduated into a place that now we understand how the work is done, and that we really can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So as we take on the journey of discovering how to manifest the mind of Christ, let's begin with the peace of God and the things that we can do to bring forth the peace that is resident within us, because after all, God lives inside of us as born again children of God. And if you're not born again, you can do that today. All you have to do is ask him. He's there knocking at the door. Open your heart and let him in. Just say, Lord Jesus, come in. Don't be afraid. Just ask him to come in, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. And he'll do that. He won't say, nah, not you today. I don't want to be bothered. No, if you ask him, he will come in. In order to have the mind of Christ, we must have this peace that transcends all of our understanding, this peace of God. In Isaiah 9:6, when he was prophesying of the peace that was coming, he says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government, hello government, will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Prince of Peace, who is resident within us, is giving us access to peace by his very presence within us. He wants us to walk in peace. And the world, as I said before, the world, the entire world has a need for peace, even though there may not be military action on our soils or souls. Yes, my northern accent is mixing in with my southern, but souls of the world and every soul of every nation, there may not be military action, but there is a lack of peace. There's a lack of peace in individuals. There's a lack of peace in homes. There's a lack of peace in communities, in churches, in the world as a whole, spiritually, emotionally, economically. There's chaos and confusion. It doesn't matter how many times the president meet with the head of whatever. The Bible says the government belongs to God. And man is trying to govern it. That's where the foolishness is coming in. It's not Democrats, Republicans, liberals, leftists, or righters, or whatever it is. It is that people are not turning to God. The government belongs to the Lord. So we need to give it back to God. The men and women that are wearing these badges of authority need to give it back to God. It will not work without him. There will be no peace without the peacemaker and the peace giver. There will be no place of rest until the nation turns to God. The scripture teaches us that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the nations mourn. There's so much mourning in the world. But he did say that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I would heal the land. Our land needs healing. Dr. Faye, whose side you're on, the Lord's? Are you Democrat or Republican? I'm Christian. I'm Christ's child. I'm a daughter of God. Yes, yes, and yes. That's how I see that. How do you vote? According to the way I'm led of the Spirit? Oh, I have no arguments over these things because I know that the government belongs to God. We can't change that. I don't care how many books you write or how many whatever. We cannot change what the Bible has said. The government belongs to God. And the only way we're going to have peace is to turn it over to the Prince of Peace. Can the church say amen? Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Our God reigns. I'm not pro anything, but pro God. My God reigns. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Of course they will. That's Matthew 5:9. The children of God are the peacemakers, bringing peace, not only in their words, but in their actions. They're bringing peace. Yes. In Acts 10:36, it says, you know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Lord is governor, ruler of all. If a nation turns to God and begins to pray, I don't mean talk about prayer, but I mean really pray. Really pray. If you want to see government change, let the Supreme Court open up getting on their knees and say, we're not moving till we hear from heaven. Let the Oval Office turn into a sanctuary. If you want to see a nation change, let the palace become a place for God to move with his spirit. Come on now. Amen. If you want to see nations change, let city councils begin to say, you know what? I don't know how to lead this city, but I know who does. I know where I can go to get a word. I know where I can go to get peace for my city. You're concerned about gang violence in your city, and you want the mind of Christ to manifest. Go to God. Mm-hmm. Because that's the answer. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or any of these things. It's not a matter of legislation, because you can't legislate love and common sense, but it's of righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit in Romans 14 and 17. In Romans 15, the writer writes, "The God of peace be with you." We need the peace of God to move, and we must manifest that as we take on the mind of Christ. There is a peace that passes understanding. He wants to show himself as the God of peace. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, it says that God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. He's the God of peace, and he wants to show himself. He wants to manifest his goodness and his glory. In Galatians 6 and 16, the Apostle Paul ends that letter by saying, "Peace and mercy to all who follow the rules of God, to the Israel of God." Philippians 4 and 7, I've already quoted, but I want to quote it again. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Over and over and over again, the epistle speaks of the peace of God, the God of peace. He's the God of peace. And as we take on the mind of Christ, living from that place of the Christ mind, we will begin to discover that peace is in the house. And the only way to access that peace is to pray and to begin to obey God, to come into alignment with God, to follow his leadership. If our president would follow God's leadership, if our senators and representatives and all the people who wear badges of every kind, and not just police officers, but there are other badges, judges and legislators and mayors and council people, aldermen and alderwomen, whatever, all those people, governmental officials, law enforcement agencies, would bear the badge of Christ, then we would see a change for sure. If we really, really, and truly want, were those double adverbs? But that's okay. I mean to emphasize it. If we really want the change of God in the earth, if we really do love people, if we really want to see the presence of God, there's a call for prayer for all nations. If we really want the mind of Christ, there's a call for prayer for all nations to turn toward him with every fiber of our being, begin to seek him and to call upon him. And we will see the goodness of God in this land. From Chicago to Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Detroit. I know that there are men and women all over the world who are heading up prayer groups, as we do every Wednesday morning. We do teaching along with ours, but prayer groups at 6:30 a.m. Central Time. Our group is Wake Up and Pray. We are three years in running. Wake Up and Pray group on Facebook, because we know that the center of every great movement has to be prayer. And I don't mean just Father bless me prayer, but I mean prayers that avail much, effectual, fervent prayers that James, the book of James talks about, I believe 5 and 14, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much, or woman avails much. That means pray from a heart that's clear, a heart that's pure, a place of integrity. Because you are talking to the one who lives in the house. You are speaking to your Father. He is our Father. We have his DNA. It's been switched at birth. We've been changed forever. We can no longer go back to not him not being our Father. You can't undo fatherhood like that. It cannot be done. The blood is the blood. And his blood has been shed on Golgotha's hill through his son, Jesus Christ. And we now are partaker of it. So much so that when Jesus prayed in Matthew 6, he said, "Our Father," he brought us into unity with him. He made us one with him then when he says, "Our Father." He didn't say, "My Father, which is in heaven." He said, "Our Father." Oh, I love it, don't you? Yes, yes, and yes. The mind of Christ is ushering in a peace through these airways into your life right now. Whoever you are and whatever it is you're going through, the peace of God is there for you. This peace that is not from externals, you, not because you are on medication peace. You know, I had to take this so I could something to go to sleep, or I have to take a pill so that I can wake up, or I have to take a pill just so I can go through my day. I understand. I really do get that. What I am sharing with you is that there is a better way. And the better way is Christ's way, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. If you would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there would be an internal equilibrium that will empower you in such ways that you will not be able to articulate it. You will not be able to explain it away. You will just know that you know that you know that you have peace. You can be basking in the presence of God right now while you're still in these bodies. And you don't have to die to go to heaven, at least not out of the body. But die to your old way of thinking. Die to your old way of being. And take on this new man, this new creation. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me whole. Receive me as your child. Amen. It's as easy as that. It really is that easy. It's just asking him. And ask him to fill you with his precious Holy Spirit and give you a hunger for his word. And if you don't have a Bible, you can get one online. It's easy. They're everywhere. There, if you have a smartphone, there's one on your smart. Download it to your smartphone and read it there. Read it any way you can read it. And learn how to live from that place. He's not a harsh, mean father trying to beat you up, tear you down, make you feel bad about your life. No, he's saying, this is the way to walk. This is the way I want you to be. This is the life I want you to live. I'm not giving you these directives because I want them. I'm giving them to you because I know that's what you need in order to live in peace, in order to walk in victory. Now, things will happen. How many of you know life happens? Let me see a show of hands. Life happens. But when life happens, just know that Christ is there. The peace giver is there. And you can turn around and go to him. If there's any difference between the person who knows this and the person who doesn't know it, is the peace difference. It's simply the peace difference. People who love God and people who do not love God can receive the same diagnosis, but the one who has the relationship with God responds differently than the one who doesn't. Relationship, not just saying God exists, but relationship responds differently. There's a peace. There's a walk that regardless of what, I am not alone on this path. I am not alone on this journey. And you are not alone. Know that today. And find a Bible teaching, Bible believing church. Listen to us here every Sunday on Intentional. Join me for Wake Up and Pray every Wednesday morning at 6:30 p.m. And we will put a note in our show page for that information, but I'll give it to you anyway. The area code is 641-715-3580. That's 641-715-3580. And the access code is 891-384-POUND. That's 891-384-POUND for the access code. Thank you for being a part of Intentional today, and thank you for joining me every day at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the world's, one of the world's premier radio networks, America Out Loud. I want you to take time to join my friends, Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli, every weekday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for their Talking While Married. It is such a cute show. jump in there, participate with them, listen to what they have to say. They are a fun couple, a loving couple, and I just love Dr. Ron and Linda Martinelli. And also my friend, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, who is airing every weekday now at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Blue Lives. And you know that we need to support our police officers, our law enforcement officers that are doing good work. And there are a number of them that are doing good work. My family personally experienced some things here in recent months that we had to pay attention to and had to work with law enforcement. And I'm telling you, I celebrate the law enforcement officers of Arkansas Sheriff's Department because they have done a phenomenal job. I applaud them. Lieutenant Detective Danny Rouse, who's done an amazing job, and all of the officers on board, including the sheriff. And so God bless each and every one of them. Pray for our police officers. That's Bible. Pray for those who have authority over us. And I pray for you. You go and have an amazing day. Check out America Out Loud and browse, find your favorite show. I know this is one at the Energy Bar, and bookmark those. Like us, review us, and talk to us on iTunes with a review. I want to hear what you have to say. Share us in social media. God bless you. I'm Dr. Faye. And remember, you must have the mind of Christ. Change the world with that inside peace. Go be a mover and a shaker for the good. God bless you. Until next time.